And today, we finished the epistle of Paul to Galatians. So this morning we start not really a series, but just maybe a mini-series on worship. How many knows that we only know that the Ten Commandments are the commandments of God, right? But actually there's a lot of commandments that the Lord has put in His book. And one of the commandments that God tells us is to worship Him. Amen? So we're just going to focus on this particular Psalms 95. If you have your Bible with you, turn your Bible to Psalms 95. And we're just going to look up what we can learn from this psalm that will help us understand and to worship God that we serve. Amen? Psalms 95. And this is our response to God. So let's read Psalms 95, verse 1 to maybe the whole Psalms 95, 1 to 11. And it says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is what? For the Lord is great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they may have seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we could come to you, Lord, this morning and study what your people responded to your greatness and to your love for them, Lord. Help us with the help of your Holy Spirit to learn from what they have done before. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You know, there's these two young boys, and they were walking in the street in downtown Indiana. And from that alley runs a Rottweiler and attacked one of the boys. The other boy grabs a 2x4 lying near the alley and beats the dog to death and saved his friend's life. A reporter from Indy Star gets the story and requests an interview from the first boy. He runs the story on the front page, and the headlines read, "Colts fan bravely saves friend's life from a Rottweiler." The boy calls the reporter and says, "I am not a Colts fan." You know what Colts? This is right now they are playing probably against somebody. The Colt that says, "I am not a Colts fan." It's a football team. The reporter says, "Well, I just thought that since you are from Indy, that you would be a Colts fan. I'll correct the mistake in tomorrow's paper." The next day, the front page read, "Pacers fan briefly saves friend's life from a Rottweiler." The boy calls the reporter again and says, "I am not a Pacers fan." You know what a Pacer? It's a basketball team. First it's a football and then it's a basketball. But I am not a Pacers fan. So the boy calls the reporter and says, "I'm not a Pacers fan." The reporter says, "Are you a fan of sports at all?" The boy says, "Yeah. In fact, I am a diehard Tennessee Titans fan." The reporter agrees to note the change in the next day of newspaper. The next day, the front page read, "Redneck idiot kills faithful family." That was his viewpoint. See, everyone takes worship in a different level. And you can ask the Pentecostal, an Anglican, and the Anglican, Episcopalians, the Lutherans, the Catholics, Wesleyan, Methodist. Ask young people or older, the golden age saints, however you define it, and whatever you take, it's depending to POV. What's a POV? Point of view. So I think we would all agree that we need to rediscover the dynamics of worship in our worship once again. Amen? Because worship is very important in the child of God. Amen? See, we cannot find deepness in worship anywhere in the scripture. We need a transforming experience from the Lord. The kind of spiritual visitation that will help heal our broken homes, heal our splits churches, that will strip away our religious appearance and get us back to the reality of what worship is all about, to restore the true spiritual values and replace the cheap counterfeit that we have created to take place of God. Amen? And most of all, we need that which will bring glory to God that we serve, to the world that we sit up and take notice and confess that God is truly amongst us. See, my desire for all of us when we come to church is that it's not that just come and be here, but my desire in my heart that when we come here this morning and every Sunday is that we have a visitation with God that we serve. Because if we just come in here and worship, and there is no experience of the presence of God in our life, and we go home like the same, what's the use of purpose? Why we come here? A.W. Tozer said, "Worship is the missing jewel of the church." I believe that one of the problems in our church is that people do not have a biblical understanding of worship. As someone has well said of American Christians, we have become a generation of people who worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. When our worship grows stale, so does our passion for God. Worship is the furnace of the spiritual life. I just come to my remembrance when David had that passion to worship. And then he started taking off his clothes and start dancing in the street. So, I'm afraid that too many of us come to church because it's Sunday, rather than coming on Sunday to worship. Far too many of us come to get blessed, rather than to bless. So, we just want to look up, what is worship? First, the what of worship. What of worship? What worship? But first of all, we'll look up what worship is not. Do we have that there? First, what worship is not? Worship is not an event. And because if it's an event, there's so much. There's the biggest churches here in America. And we have an event. And here there's about 90,000 in one place alone. And there's about 36 teams in football games that are playing right now. We have about 90,000 people in just one place, one stadium. 90,000. That's an event. If we said worship is an event, then we missed the mark. Because worship is not an event. And we call morning service, worship service, but calling it doesn't ensure that we are worshiping. Because that's people are in an event right now. Jesus echoed the word of Isaiah, the prophet of old, when he said, the Jews of his days, it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, we can have worship, we can have an event, but our heart is far from God. Amen? So first of all, the what of worship, what worship is not? It's not an event. Worship is not even music. Churches may have a worship leader and a praise team. We may sing hymns and worship. We may sing praise and worship choruses. But having the music does not guarantee our worship. Because we can worship without music. Music is a vehicle. That's right. It's a vehicle to take us to the place of worship. Amen? So, music is not worship. Worship is not an event. And another one, worship is not performance either. In performance, saturated society, if we are not careful, we will see worship as a performance to be graded rather than something that we give to God. We may see ourselves as an audience and the people on the platform as performers. But none of us should be spectators. All of us should be participants in worshiping God. Not only that worship is not an event, worship is not music, worship is not performance, but also worship is not feeling. Some people think that, feelings, there's... But that's not worship. It's not a feeling when we worship. It's not about feeling. And people think that unless they get tear in their eyes, a shiver down their spine, or work themselves up in the emotional turmoil, that they may have not truly experienced worship. Worship is emotional, but being emotional does not guarantee genuine worship. Worship is not something that confined to one day a week. See, you can worship when we go home today. You can even start worshiping God. You don't have to wait to come here the next Sunday to worship Him. You can worship Him while you're driving. You can worship Him while you're studying. You can worship Him while you're jogging or walking. You're going to grocery. Amen? So worship is not confined to a certain area or certain days. Amen? It reminds me, a mother gave a party to her baby after he had been christened in the church. She invited friends and family over. The baby was on the bed, sleep at the parents' bedroom. As the guests arrived, they placed their coat on the bed in the midst of activities. The mother forgot about the baby.
She went in, and the bed in the bedroom, the coats were on the baby, and the baby died. I cannot imagine anything more tragic for a family, and I cannot imagine anything more tragic for the family of God than to smother and throw worship underneath all other stuff that we do all week long. If we would live in an attitude of worship, wonder, and praise the other 6 days a week, it will revolutionize our Sunday service. Amen? It will revolutionize our Sunday service. So, those are the what worship is not. It's not a feeling, it's not a performance, it's not world music, and it's not even an event. So, what worship is? Worship is a response to God. When we worship God, we are responding to Him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loves us. Because God has loved us and called us and saved us and provided for us. We respond to His love and mercy and saving power by declaring His worthiness in worship. So, what worship is? Worship is a response to God for His love for us. Worship is heartfelt, it's sincere, genuine, earnest, warm feeling. Worship is heartfelt. In John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Wow. God the Father is seeking for those who worship Him in what? In spirit and in truth. So, worship involves digesting precious truth deep into our hearts. Genuine worship is not an emotion, but it's always emotional. God's grace always touches our emotions. Worship is that which values Him above everyone and everything. Amen. That's why He said, you know, if you seek me and my kingdom first, everything will be added to you. So worship is declaring the worthiness and the value of God that we serve. There are people in the room that I highly value. They have great worth to me personally, yet I do not worship them. I worship God because He is absolutely worthy and supremely valuable. When asked what was the greatest of all the Old Testament, Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and foremost commandment of God. And everything follows. Is to love. You shall love the Lord your God and with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I mean everything in your life. And this is the first and foremost commandment. No one or nothing should be higher value to us than God. As much as we love our family, we must love God even more. Amen? So, worship is a choice. You choose to worship God because He loves you. I will bless the Lord at all times. Isaiah 12, chapter 6 says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. We are living in the midst of God's presence this morning. Worship is giving, not giving. So that's the what of worship. The what of worship is that, first of all, worship is a response to God, to His love, because He first loves us. Worship is a heart feeling. It's a sincere, genuine, warm feeling. And worship is that which values in everyone and everything. And worship is a choice. And worship is giving, not getting. And the why of worship is that why we worship God, we worship because of who God is. Praise is a response to what God does. Worship is a response to who God is. Did you get that? Praise is a response to what God does. And worship is a response to who God is. I praise God. I thank Him for His mercy when He answers my prayers. I praise Him in response to His work. But I worship Him for who He is, simply because He is God. So I am not worshiping Him because of what He will do for me, but because of what He is to me. When worship becomes commercial, it ceases to be worship. So here in our verse, in our text this morning, in Psalms 95, we have a number of statements that tells us who God is. In verse 1, he is called the Lord and the rock of our salvation. In verse 3, He is called the great God. As we sing this song this morning, how great is our God is. And the great King above all gods. Verses 4 to 5, He is praised for His work as the creator of all things. In verse 6, He is our maker. We don't have that air, huh? In verse 7 of Psalms 95, He is not just some inspiring, magnificent, transcendent deity, but He is our God. He is a personal. He is our great and gentle shepherd. In verse 8 and 11, He is the God of mercy, of history, who called and delivered the nation of Israel. So as we move to the New Testament, God revealed Himself in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us. We worship Jesus because Jesus is the Savior. He is the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person that we can find in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, which says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. See, He is the God that we serve. Jesus Christ. Amen? So we worship because of who God is. And that in Psalms 95 is covered of who He is, that we have a reason to worship Him. And letter B, we worship because of who we are. We worship because of who we are. Do we have that there? No? In verse 7 it says, we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And even in 1 Timothy this morning, our first Peter, God said that we are the chosen people of God. And before we are not His children, but now He called us sons and daughters of God. And in verse 7 it says, we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. He is the creator We are the creature. He is the king. We are the subject. He is the master. We are the servant. He is the vine, and we are the branches. He is the owner. We are the position. There is not a hair that falls from your head that escapes his attention. Can you imagine that? That every hair that you have that's fallen has been accounted for. Therefore, the most natural response in the world is for you to worship him. Amen? So, the what of the worship, the why of the worship, and this is the how of worship. Letter A, we are to worship God corporately. Notice the use of plural pronouns in this song. It says, lead us. There's about 5 times in your Bible. If you're looking in your Bible, there's 5 times that the writer of Psalms 95 mentioned about the plurality of pronouns in this song, and it says, lead us. So if you have your Bible with you, you have your pencil with you, I want you to underscore the word lead us, because that's pertaining to all of us, the children of God. That's our responsibility. It says, let us shout. And then the next one, let us come before his presence. And then the next one, let us worship and bow down. And the last one is, let us kneel. Though we can worship any time and any place, there is a specific dynamics of God's presence in a corporate worship. That's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And that's why we have to come to church. That's one of the reasons that we need to come to church, because we need to worship corporately. Amen? You can be a TV costal, but it's important to come to church, because that's where we can encourage one another. Amen? Especially the day approaching. And I believe that day is coming pretty soon. Amen? So as someone has well said, Jesus came to change our vocabulary from I, me, and mine to we, us, and our. Because lead us pertaining for all of us. Amen? So, not the how of worship, that we are not to worship, we are to worship corporately, and the second one is we are to worship verbally. Verse 1 tells us to sing and to shout to the Lord. It doesn't mean that the Lord cannot hear, but that's his command, because it tells us to sing and to shout, excuse me. You cannot sing or shout without opening your mouth. And a lot of people, they sing with their mind. But the Bible tells us to sing and to shout verbally. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen? So, it's okay. Even though you're out of tune, that's okay to open your mouth and sing. Amen? So not only that we have to worship corporately, not only that we have to worship verbally, but also we are to worship physically. In verse 6 of our text, it says, we are called to bow down and to kneel before the Lord. And probably people will say, you know, but that was before. I don't have to live. But the Bible says in Psalms 95, it says, we are told to bow down and to kneel before the Lord. In Psalms 47, verse 1, it says, oh, clap your hand, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Amen? There's a voice of triumph when we shout. Do you know that the army of God in the Old Testament, before they go to war, they pray that they worship Him in front, and they are the ones singing and shouting. Because when we sing together, it encourages people that are weary, people that are frustrated in life. When we sing together, when we open our mouth, we will be encouraged. Amen. So that's why the Bible says that we need to clap our hands, all you people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Amen. How many of you here are victorious? Okay, there's about four people that some of you are losers. Right? Amen. Don't say amen. Because you are victorious. There is the voice of triumph that's inside of you. Amen? So clap your hands. It's okay. Clap your hands. All you peoples, shout to God with the voice of triumph. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Amen? And some of us, not even that. They don't them scared to lift up their hands. It's in here. Right? To lift up your hands and clap your hands. Amen. And some of you probably, instead of that, they're holding their packet. Maybe Pastor Ed will look around and pick packet. But that's okay to raise your hand. Amen? The voice of triumph. Let the voice of triumph. Brothers and sisters, if we don't train our heart with the voice of triumph, you know what? We're going to go home and we will finish the day as a loser. I know it's some, you might see that. Well, that's. You think that, well, there's no more hope. But how many of you, if you are sons and daughters of God, there is hope inside of you. Amen. The only thing is we have been programmed by the enemy that we are a loser. But God says you are overcomer. You are victorious. You need to have that voice of triumph from inside of you. Because whatever is inside of you, the Bible says that, what did they say? Out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaking. Right? I don't want to speak some loose words that will put me down. And sometimes you know what God has said. Amen? You have the voice of triumph. Did you see that? Psalms 47. Clap your hands. That's okay to clap your hands. Because there is a voice of triumph. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. And then in Psalm 63 says, thus I will bless you. While I live, I will lift up my hands in your name. How many of you are lifting hands when worshiping the Lord? I'm glad I'm in front. I couldn't see everybody lifting up their hands. Amen? It says, Psalms 134, verse 2. I want you to write it down if you're not looking in your Bible. Psalms 134, verse 2, it says, anybody of you in your Bible, Psalms 134? All right, Sister Pia, you're smiling. Okay, go ahead and read it. Verse 2. Oh, still looking. Psalms 134, verse 2. Whoa. Amen. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. See, you don't have to go home to lift up your hands. But here when we come together, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Amen. So worship. Worship involves both attitudes and actions. Bowing, clapping, embracing, giving, serving. Worship is our response of all we are in minds and emotions, will and body. Worship is much more than a few songs on Sunday morning. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is constantly putting God first in what we say and what we think and what we do. When we gather together to sing songs of worship, we are merely putting music to the song that is already in our hearts. See, it's already. You don't have to come here to sing. It's, you know, by the time we go home, we know already. And then we come back the following week because it's already in our hearts. It's been engraved and it's in our heart to worship Him no matter what we're going through. Amen. We went to play golf in Friday. And what's that? Facebook already. And we have Pastor Armando have a new guy with him. I said, where is this? You know, Pastor Armando, every time he meets somebody at the golf course, he will invite that guy to play golf. So we invited him. Pick me up, and the guy, when I get into the car, man, he stopped laughing, and then he says, so, Pastor Ed, what does it mean when you have, we have a joy? Well, sabi ko, joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That joy, that means if you have joy with you, there is the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. Then, after we arrive in the golf course, and then after 10 holes, he wants to separate from us. He wants to play by himself. So I said, well, you go ahead and play yourself. And as our way home, he's still laughing. I said, there's something. So I was thinking that, I don't think this is the joy. I don't think it's the fruit of the Spirit is inside of this guy. So I said, well, maybe I told Rose, maybe he's some kind of a upper or what, you know what, the one that keeps you joy, because you think joy is being joy, you know, outside being happy. So I said, well, I don't know if this is joy, but we are to worship. Worship is a lifestyle. And worship is constantly putting God first in what we say, in what we think, in what we do. See, we know that we have the spirit of worship, because we cannot just have a spirit of worship and then, you know, you just keep our mouth quiet. See, when we have the Holy Spirit, you start worshiping God wherever you go, whether you're in the car or the bathroom, taking a shower or wherever, whatever, because you have that spirit of worship inside of you. Amen? Okay, so not only that worship, how worship is that we are to worship corporately, we are to worship verbally, we are to worship physically, and we have to worship obediently. Worship is a matter of obedience. Some people put in a show of worship, but then they don't obey the Lord for a whole week. After service, they do their own thing, way. Not worshiping the Lord. Someone said, it is not how high you jump, but how straight you walk when you hit the ground. See that? That's according to Bishop Riley. Said, the best public worship is that which produces the best private Christianity. The best public worship is that which produces the best private Christianity. Amen? In closing, I just want to read this letter. From a high school girl, wrote the following letter to a friend. I attended your church yesterday. Although you had invited me, you were not there. I looked for you, hoping to sit with you. I sat alone. A stranger, I wanted to sit near the back of the church, but those rows were all packed with regular attenders. As usher took me to the front, I felt as though I was on parade. During the singing of the hymns, I was surprised to note that some of the church people were not singing. Between their sighing and yawning, they just stared into space. Three of the kids that I had respected on campus were whispering to one another throughout the whole service. Another girl was giggling. I really didn't expect that in your church. The pastor's sermon was very interesting, although some members of the choir didn't seem to think so. They looked bored and restless. One kept smiling at someone in the congregation. There were several people who left and didn't come back during the sermon. I thought how rude. I could hear the constant shuffling of feet and doors opening and closing. The pastor spoke about the reality of faith. The message got to me, and I made up my mind to speak to someone about it after the service. But utter chaos reigned after the benediction. I said good morning to one couple, but their response was less than cordial. I looked for some teens with whom I could discuss the sermon, but they all huddled in a corner talking about the newest music group. My parents don't go to church. I came alone yesterday hoping to find a place to truly worship and feel some love. I'm sorry, but I didn't find it in your church. I won't be back. That's sad. And sometimes we don't know that people that come here are so observant. And if we cannot, I don't know what to say. If we cannot do or act, be like a Christian, we missed a lot of people. Amen. And it's important that what we say reflect in our ways, in what we do. Because there's a lot of people that are looking to be ministered, and we missed the opportunity. Amen. I know there are some other people that they just want to come and observe, and then if they don't
they don't see the right attitude of the people, we will miss the opportunity to minister to them. Amen. And this is just a letter. It's not even probably in the Facebook. But can you imagine if this person wrote it in the Facebook? How many of you have visited the Facebook of the International Christian Faith Church? Does anybody visit the Facebook? Nobody? And I hope you read those comments in there. How many of you have read those comments in the Facebook? Mr. Camille? So it's a lot of us that doesn't go to the Facebook, huh? But praise the Lord that God has given us the opportunity to minister to a lady last week. If you were here, we have a lady that came here, and she was taking a breakfast next door, and she feel like God has directed her to come in this church, and she seated there where Sister Mia is sitting, and when she came in, when she sit down, she started crying. She was sobbing. And some of us has ministered to her, and we visited that she has her son admitted to Loma Linda Hospital, and her son was diagnosed of leukemia. The worst leukemia. What's the name of that leukemia, Rob? Leukemia. AOL? So, that she made a comment in our Facebook. If you can read it, she made a comment. And I hope that, that will be an encouraging to all of us. If you visit that Facebook, the International Christian Faith Church, that will encourage you to do what some of us have done. Amen. So I just encourage you to visit the Facebook. I think that's International Christian Faith Church. Herb? Amen. So, shall we all stand? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this lesson that we learned this morning about worship. And Father, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to each one of us and to remind us, Lord, the things that we have studied this morning that will help us, that will help us in our relationship with you as we walk and journey with you, Lord. Father, we pray that you will help us to get closer to you, Lord God, that worship is part of our response to your goodness to each one of our lives, Father God. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, today that as we learn, we can clap our hands, Lord, that we can sing, and that we have the reason to come together, Lord, because we need with one another, Lord. We need to worship corporately, Lord God. And Father, we thank you this morning for your word, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. And Father, we said that, Lord, that worship is about giving, not taking, Lord God. And Father, this morning we thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to give, Lord, to give our tithes and offering to your kingdom, Lord God. that we may be able, Lord, to meet the needs and support the ministry that we are involved in, Bohol, Father God, and to the pastor in Baguio, Father. And Lord, we thank you, God, for all these things that you have given us this opportunity to worship you in Jesus' name. And everybody.